It's all too clear.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And you and I are blessed to live in beautiful Brevard County. We want to thank you for spending the next half hour with us here on the Refresh radio program. Pray that it will be time well invested in your spiritual journey. I pray today that we'll challenge you and spur you on to believing that God is able to do more in your life than he has done thus far. So we want to say thank you to the folks that helped make this radio program possible. One of those people is a company, Weirich Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H, Air, out of Rockledge, Florida. They can be reached at 321-632-9538. But you don't have to be in Rockledge, Florida to avail yourself of their services. They go anywhere in the county, down to Barefoot Bay, all the way up near to Mims and Scottsmore, from the coast all the way over to the western boundaries. They travel all throughout the county. They can work on any type of unit, whether it's a traditional air conditioning unit, an air handler on the inside of the house, whether it's a package unit, whether it's a split system, whatever type it might be, no matter what the problem is, they can help diagnose it. They can provide you opportunities for a solution. You might be like someone that that I know very well, who is in need of a new system. And that gets a little bit pricier. But the good news is, with technological improvements and efficiency, you can, you know, probably end up paying for the new system with what you're going to be saving on lower electric bills. Now, if you don't have an air conditioning or a heater problem, you might have electrical issues. They can remedy any or all of those type of problems that you may have. You know, it doesn't need to be big. Some of the work that I've had them do for me are changing out light switches and outlet covers. They've changed electric panels for us. They've done electrical work at our church as well. They will do a great job for you. I encourage you to call them. That's Weirich Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H, area code 321-632-9538. You tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. That would be greatly appreciated. So tonight we have Bible study at 7 o'clock. We have youth service at 7 o'clock in our fellowship hall. We would love to have you come and be a part of that. So we are celebrating 2019 being the best year that Merritt Assembly of God ever had. We continue to make numerous improvements to our facilities, and we're getting closer and closer to having that to-do list all to done. And we're very excited about the prospects that God has for us in the future. In fact, we as a church are going through this passage on a smaller scale to figure out, God, what would you like Merritt Assembly, God? What is the process that you would have us to operate with in 2020? And so that's what we've been talking about here. The gift has purpose. The purpose has a process that's going to help you to accomplish that purpose. It's going to have a result, and we know that with God, the results are always going to be wonderful. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 10 today, where it says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Well, you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is a group of people who have been delivered from covetousness and discovered the blessing, the grace of being used by God for giving. And so we spent a lot of time talking about verse number 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. After I did that radio program, I left the station and I realized that many people nowadays do not understand the principle of how bread comes into being. You don't just go to a field and pick up a loaf of bread. There's a process. We talked about that transformation from the supplied grain and making it into a loaf of bread, but on yesterday's program. But there's a lot of skill that goes into that. There's a lot of knowledge. But I will tell you that as a child, one of my favorite memories of going to visit my dad at work, he was a construction worker, and a lot of time he spent working in one of the hospitals in town. And I've got some memories of experiences on the job site there that were you know, terrifying and thrilling for a young boy. But the atmosphere of getting to where Dad worked was what was so memorable, because there was a bakery right across the street from the hospital. And whenever you were driving to the hospital, you had to pass the bakery, and the scent of that bread that was being baked just permeated the atmosphere for blocks around the hospital. And I will tell you that when we allow God to begin the transformation process from what he's given us into what the ultimate strength in us is going to be, that it will change the atmosphere of our society as well. He goes on here and continues in verse number 10. It says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So God not only supplies the seed, he's got the reputation for being the source of the supply. And he says, now I'm praying that he is going to not only have the reputation, but that he's actually going to fulfill that. Not only is he going to provide it, but he's going to multiply it. Multiply it. You see, I believe that the church here in America needs to experience once again that God is not just the God of addition, he's the God of multiplication. You see, we've kind of got conditioned to our society being slow to respond to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and saying yes to Jesus Christ as being their Lord and Savior. But I believe that the God who caused thousands to come to faith on the day of Pentecost and thousands more to come to faith in the days shortly after Pentecost that you can read about in the book of Acts, that he was causing people, the number of disciples, to be multiplied on a daily basis. I believe that we can also see that once again. I pray that you discover that God is not a miser. He's a multiplier. He's a supplier that wants to go above and beyond just the minimal fulfillment of the supply. He wants to multiply it, because the multiplied bread, the multiplied seed, is going to impact more and more people. It's not just the multiplication of the seed that they had sown, but it was also the increase of the fruits of righteousness. You see, this grace of giving is not just a monetary transaction. There is a spiritual component as well. At Merit Assembly of God, we refer to this as we're going to continue our worship service at this time. We're going to continue worshiping God with his tithe and our offering. You see, the Bible declares that the tithe belongs to him and it is considered holy. I don't want to touch that. I want to make sure that I give to God that which already belongs to him. But I also want to multiply that. I want to go above and beyond. I had an experience, I believe it was back in, well, let's just say it was in the mid-90s. And I encountered a person, and we had two different economic realities at that time. I was working, I'd been used to working in a retail environment for basically about minimum wage, a little bit above, but not much. This person was in a different industry. And so he said he was going to give us a discounted rate for some of the work that he did. And then when he presented the bill, it was like, oh my, how am I going to come up with that sort of money? And so he and I had a discussion. He said, you know, I said, I thought you were going to give us a discounted rate, which his discounted rate was like triple what I was accustomed to making. And he said, well, that is a discounted rate. That's basically half of what I normally charge to do things like this. And I was like, oh. And God spoke to me and he said, do not begrudge a person who is experiencing a level of blessing that you have not attained to yet, because if you feel ill towards them, what they are being blessed with, and this was a Christian brother, then how can I ever entrust you with that type of income? Because you disparage the person that's making that now, then I could never elevate you to that place because you feel bad about people who make that much money. And I said, you know what? I don't begrudge him. I bless him in the name of Jesus. And I can tell you that that was a wonderful, wonderful learning experience for me. And through the years, God has multiplied Merit Assembly of God. It was about that time that God began to grow Merit Assembly of God financially, because we had said yes to being a church that partners with God to support missions around the globe. As a result of that, our church income, you know, in the first 3 years that we were at Merit Assembly of God, the first year's income was 13 or 14,000. I think it was 13. Then the next year it was 20 some thousand. So that would have been 94, 95 was in the 20s, 96 was in the 20s. And then in 1997, that was when God challenged us, and all of a sudden church income, that wasn't my salary I just quoted you, that was the total church income. Very, very tight back in those days, especially when you're trying to repair a facility. And during that year of 1997, where God multiplied, started off horrible, but obedience and sowing seed, God took us that year, and he more than doubled the previous year's income. And the next year was up another 60% over that year. And the next year was up another 20% or something in that neighborhood. God just began to multiply. And every time we've hit a plateau in our giving, we say, God, Could you multiply it again? Now, remember, it's seed and it's bread. So there is a, whenever there's multiplication, that means the amount of your, the seed that you have harvested is going to be increased. It means also that the amount of resource that you're going to be able to employ for God's purposes to see it transformed and made into something that is going to strengthen and empower a group of people, that is also increased. This passage that we're talking about here, it says, and the fruits of your righteousness. That means that as that increases, that the, let's see, how do I want to say this? The connection between what we believe, what we declare, and what we live is going to be very, very tight. There's going to be an integrity between all three of those elements. The things that we say, the things that we believe, and the things that we live. And so I will tell you that if you have a revelation of the holiness of Jesus, that you have a revelation of the righteousness of God, that is going to manifest not just with giving, but it is also going to be giving out of a pure heart, out of a heart of right standing before God. Don't ever allow the tangible blessings to be disconnected from the spiritual reality of righteousness that God wants us to live. You see, we talked about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You can give everything you have away to the poor, but if you don't have love, it's just going to be a bunch of noise. God is looking for us not just to be financially blessed and multiply our finances. He's looking to send revival, a revival of righteousness, a revival of holiness. Holiness is not a dirty word. Holiness has had a bad rap because some people tried to make it legalistic. But I'm here to tell you that God still is a God of holiness. Without holiness, we're not going to see God. We need holiness. We need righteousness in our lives. And the more we obey and comply and get involved with not only God's supply, but understand his purpose and understand his process, the more we're going to find ourselves walking in the blessing and the favor of God. He says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality. Okay? So, it is not just something that is taking place with the things that we possess, but he's actually enriching us. I believe that is a term that is used many times in a bakery type process, that this particular bread is enriched. It's had something that was added to it. You know, I believe that there is a spiritual wealth that goes beyond dollars and cents. I believe that we really do become a better person when Jesus becomes the central focus of our life. I believe that a Christian ought to be the best husband or the best wife, the best parent, the best employee. I believe that the wisdom of God, the strength of God, the love of God being poured out into our lives ought to be enriching us and causing us to embrace the same heartbeat that God has, and that is that we love so much that we give. And we don't just give our rejects. We give our best. I heard a testimony here recently about a person whose life had been blessed. And they used the skills that they had to bless someone else. And that person was blessed to be able to receive those things. And there came a position in their life, and they said, you know what? We feel like God wants us to bless this person who has blessed us. And I'm so thankful to be part of the body of Christ. I've told our church this a whole bunch of times. I do not see how people survive without being dynamically connected to a church. When we first came to Brevard County, we had no connection with a local congregation, so we were just like a number of other people. We were like, okay, God, where do you want us to go to church? And it was late in the year, and the holidays were kicking in and stuff like that. And the first church that we visited, we didn't think we were going to end up there. There were already abundant number of ministers on staff. What we didn't realize was that church was getting ready to plant another church. And so their staff was getting ready to be reduced, and that they were going to need some help. But we didn't know all of that when we first visited. We just said, God, you're taking us to Florida, and we're thankful for the economics that you're going to provide, but God, we need to be connected to a church because you've called us into the ministry. We're here to serve, and that call is more important to us than the finances. So God, you just got to find us a place to serve. And so we came, what you may not realize is we came taking a pay cut. We made more where we were at than we made when we came here. So we were already in a little bit of a bind when we moved here economically. We went to church and had, you know, met the pastor and, you know, had entered into a relationship with him, began serving in the church as an usher, and went to church one day and locked the car. We had a station wagon, came out from church, and someone had broken into our car. But instead of taking things out, they had filled it up. They had filled it up with all sorts of things that you would need, laundry detergent. And when I say laundry detergent, I'm not talking about a little laundry detergent. I'm talking about a 5-gallon bucket of laundry detergent. There were groceries. And so we were just like blown away and went to church the next week. Still hadn't learned our lesson, because if we had learned our lesson, we would have left the car unlocked. So we lock our car and we go in, and someone had broken into our car again when we came out. And that time they'd put an ironing board and some other things in there that there wasn't probably enough room in there the week before. And so they put things in there, and I gained a whole new appreciation for the body of Christ that says we're not here just for me to survive and me to be blessed and for my family to thrive. We're here for everyone to thrive. I want you, as we're coming to the end of January here, I want you to understand that God wants to enrich you for all liberality in everything. I pray that He will enrich you with more free time. I pray that He will enrich you with more wisdom. I pray that He will enrich your relationships, that He will enrich you with the Word of God, that He will enrich you financially, that He will enrich you with health in your body and soundness in your mind. I pray that when you go to work, that you are one of the most enriched persons there. So to such an extent that when there's a problem, they come to you because they know that you have a relationship with God that is going to provide a godly solution that's going to benefit the community. We had a young man about the same age as my son. They started coming to the church because of a kids' convention that we had, and the school that they went to, this young man was not very big, and my son was pretty good size, and he was extremely intelligent, and so my son helped him socially, and he helped my son intellectually, and so they became best friends, and he ended up being the best man at my son's wedding. But when they were still in grade school, this person had been so enriched with knowledge and understanding and skill that if there was a problem in any one of the classrooms, technologically, they didn't call the IT department for the Brevard Public School System. They called this boy's teacher and they said, "Could you send him down here to see if he could help solve our problem?" If God can do that for a fifth grader, what can he do through you? I believe that God can enrich you and I so that we're the best salesperson, the best manager, the best boss, the best neighbor, that we are enriched with the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God and the love of God. I pray that you are enriched in every area of your life. I pray that you will be able to look back on 2020 and say, you know what? That was the year where God took me to a whole new level of effectiveness, of being able to be a blessing. You see, I don't believe that's just for a select few. I believe that's what God's heart is for the entire body of Christ, that you and I will be able to say, you know what? I don't have to look to my resources as my source of strength. I get to look to the God of my resources and realize that he is the one who gives me strength. It's his strength. It's his resources. I'm just along for the ride to be a blessing to as many people as I can. God bless you. Have a marvelous day. We'll be back tomorrow right here on WMIE.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Give my